Alrighty, Joshi 2010s continues on. That was Koi no Megalover by Maximum the Hormone. I know, Wiki, look, Wacky got the entrance theme song for Masaki Iwata here. It's about time, because there's going to be a lot of Masaki Iwata talk on this particular Joshi 2010s episode. Thank you all for joining. I'm JD. If you're joining on the Patreon, thank you for contributing. Make sure you've gotten into that Joshi 2010s drive for ease of access to all these shows, because we're doing dual Shockwave the entire tournament before we inevitably get to later the Reina del Reyes 2012 show, joint show with Wave for their Like a Virgin annual show, but that's not until November 2012. We're doing DualShock Wave, which takes place between the end of September and middle of November of 2012 here. Yeah, so DualShock Wave began last year in 2011. That led to one of the matches of the year. I believe JPQ was a guest on that very episode. And we praised the concept of the tournament, what they're able to do for Wave, because Wave, what they're missing a lot of their shows are stakes. And when we got to that finals match that took place in Osaka, we heavily praised the Ayumi Kurihara Kana team, as one would imagine when you got the top two wrestlers in the scene teaming up together. You're bound to have just a good, well, on paper, matches of concept, right? Well, DualShock Wave in 2011 consisted of three shows of a knockout tournament, if one recalls. And it culminated at that major Osaka show with a total attendance, this is the entire tournament, and I am including that last one, of 1,332. The Osaka show got 721, it was one of their bigger shows of the year. Very successful for a small company like Wave, starting out the way they have. And it shows that if you get a team together, book them strong, put importance to what you're doing on paper, people want to see it. They did a couple shows in Shinkiba First Ring, and then two shows in Osaka. So naturally, this year they expanded it in 2012. They ran a total of six shows. So essentially double, because the impending tag title match for the winners will take place at that joint Reina de Reyes show. And that's going to be fun, because we haven't talked about Reina de Reyes at all. That's kind of where Shuri and I believe Kana end up hanging out. For sure, Shuri. Currently, Hikaru Shida is a tag champion there, as she's in this DualShock Wave tournament as well. And the last time we talked about Wave was at their Sail Away anniversary show, the fifth one, which I was very critical of, which took place in August. And a lot of that was the show was ending to set up all of the tag partners that were going to be in this Dual Shockwave tournament. Okay? So the second tournament, the exact dates I'll give here, is September 25th to November 16th. Consists of two blocks, so round robin format this year. A win was worth 2 points, a draw was one, a loss was zero. And you do have the current Wave Tag Champions at the time, which is unfortunately Gammy and Tomoko Nakagawa. They get the auto spot in the tournament. What that means, I don't know. It's just like how that's described. The reigning DualShock Wave winners, Kurihara and Kana, were not partners in this. They have different partners this time. and I'll go over all of the teams in this in a second. So what they ended up doing was they ended up having essentially, if you were the tag champs or you won it last year and your partners, you all get quote unquote automatically in. And then there was a small little tournament Wave did for a like five team elimination match, which took place on September 3rd. And that group of people got to be in the tournament. Okay. So these are your blocks. Gami and Nakagawa in block A. Ayako Hamada and Kana. So there's your auto entries. And then the other two teams are Misaki Ohada and Tsukasa Fujimoto. And they all have their own wacky team names, which I actually found a site that actually listed them all. And the last team in block A, so it's eight teams, four teams per block. Apple Miyuki, the now Hibiscus Mei, and Kyushu Ninja Ranmaru. So the Gami Nakagawa team name is Yoko Hatanaka. Hamada and Kana are Senritsu Nojo. Ohada Fujimoto are Makaro Kurosuke, or Kurosuke. And Miyuki and Ninja Ranmaru are Naniwa Bonjo Venus. What all these teams' names mean? I guess you can look them up on your own. I can't be bothered for that. In block B, you have Kurihara and Mika Ida, Kuro Gohan, okay? They're tag team because they look alike, and Ida is sort of the clone of Kurihara at this point in time. We got Hikaru Shida and Yumi Oka teaming up. That's Shida Ezakura. Sure. I'm sure it's a play on some words. They like their double team names or whatever. Shu Shibatani and Shuri Kiseki no Rinjin. If we remember, they were kind of the straight-laced kicking duo that maybe didn't want to team together, but here they are. And the last team is Makoto and Mooka Harui, First Impact. That's probably the easiest name to remember. So you can tell that there's two teams that immediately stand out as kind of bottom of the barrel. And boy, oh boy, you're right. The Miyuki Ranmaru team and the Makoto Mooka Harui team are very rough to watch in this tournament. Say that right away, okay? Oh, okay. So I'm reading this old message board thing about why Makoto Haruhi and Miyuki Ranmaru were the final two teams, because they were not in that tournament. They were quote unquote producer recommended picks by Gami. Oh, that makes so much sense now. Yeah. All right. So there you go. The winners of this tournament, again, will go on to have a Wave tag title match on November 27th at Korakuen Hall, and that is the Reina de Reyes joint show. Okay. Now, we did go over the attendances of what 2011 did and how it was expanded in 2012 to these blocks. So, three more shows with Round Robin. And this is what we ended up with. September 25th, Shinkiba First Ring. So, 211. For the first opening show, which if we compare the year-over-year from 2011, the both first-ring shows got 172 and 167. So, up. Okay. We got some positivity going there. Nagoya, which was on September 30th, so Newtown, 273. The highest non-final show from 2011 was the opener in Osaka at 272. Okay, so we broke even. And speaking of Osaka, on October 5th, they got 272 again. So they're running this small venue. They seem to be capping out at this number. That's what they sold, right? So again, good year-over-year numbers there for their first three shows. They broke even on the same venue the next year, and they were up at First Ring, 50, 60, 70 people. And then the Nagoya show was a new town. and it's got 273. The last three shows is where we have to break this down, because October 23rd, November 4th, and November 16th were all at Shinkiba First Ring. Okay, so they just saw the first round opener, right? Well, they go back on October 23rd, and they get 174. Okay, we're back to 2011 numbers. Still not a disaster, but you would like to see them maintain above that 200 mark. They go back on November 4th, and they got 227. Okay, their highest Shinkiba first ring number in the tournament to date. Okay? And then we got the DualShock Wave Finals, which it had a block deciding match to start off the show. What would be your first inclination to what they would get? Okay, 2 weeks have gone by. That's more than enough time to kind of advertise, recoup funds. You would think, maybe they'd pump 300 plus into Shinkiba first ring, or 250 minimum. 217. So it's not their lowest, but it is lower than what they were able to do just a couple weeks prior. So you would think the finals would get you some big buzz, okay? Or at least some interest. So I want to go back to that October 23rd show, which was on day 4, since they ran 6 shows. And they had, in the semi-main, Ohada and Fujimoto against Gami and Nakagawa. In the main event, they had Shida and Yumi Oka taking on Makoto and Moika Harui. Seems backwards, doesn't it? Seems backwards. Also on that very show was a Mio Shirai singles match against Leon. A trios match in the undercard, and then a Yu Yamagata Shushibitani singles match, seeing Shushibitani naturally lose because this woman never wins in this promotion. So, not an exciting main event that they built here. So, I can kind of understand where that 170 number came from. We go back to the 227 number from the second to last day of the tournament, where they got 227, their highest Shinkiba number, but of course, far from out their little outside Tokyo numbers. Nagoya and Osaka still did considerably better. In that main event, it was Hamada and Kana against Gami and Nakagawa. So you got your tag champions with, at this point in time, the block on the line, right? Winners go on. And Kana and Hamada are, you know, relatively decent level of stars in the scene. You know, gotta phrase it that way. Okay? So where did that leave the finals? They had the block playoff match and then the finals. Well, if you look at the rest of the card, besides that, very uninspiring. Okay? We had a five-way, a trios match, a Ranyu singles match against Aya Mizunami, who, if I pull up her cage match, that is Ryu Mizunami. Okay? Although I'm not sure why it says Aya on cage match in 2012. We know who that is. So it's really a two-match card, and you gotta have the finals be something people really want to see. One would assume that Kana-Hamada match is where you want to be. Right, that's the team that you peg for the winning duo. Right, and I have to actually message someone really quick live. Okay, I know, riveting audio, but here we go. So, my overall thoughts on the tournament was, I think they could have done a little better with booking the big stars. I think, when it comes to putting cards together, you want to make them feel as most important as you possibly can, because that opener at 211 people, where it had four block tag matches, and then a fifth match on the card with another tag. So maybe in this case, you'd like to kind of break it up a little bit, in the sense of add another match, and then I think a Ryu Mizunami, like Yu Yamagata singles, and Ayayuki Shimono singles would have broken up the and made the card more interesting. Maybe you could have gotten a few a few more tens of people in the place to help that out. So I think overall, the tournament idea of moving to blocks, getting three extra shows in, would move more tickets, right? And you're gonna end it with a big, important title match at Korakuen with a joint show. I like that idea. The issue with running the finals at a place like Shinkiba First Ring, now obviously scheduling and venue booking also comes into play, but you know, let's say in this scenario they were able to get Shinjuku face, and they can try to get 400. I say you got to go for it. But with the cards they put together, clearly, the interest wasn't there, right? And if I combine the total attendance with how they booked it last year, they got 1,332 people, and that does include the Like a Virgin show on October 30th, because they essentially punted this one this year to move it back to a joint show, so it's almost completely separate, right? All six shows combined for 2012 got 1,374 people. You know, 40 people difference, basically. That has to be considered disappointing, in the sense that you would like to see running two more shows, at least a 25% increase. That's my opinion on the statistics and how it compares the year over year. Essentially breaking even under the same concept. It's not a direct failure, but it has to be considered a disappointment. Now, as for the matches in this tournament, overall, in the sense, I can't say any singular match broke a 1 out of 3recommendation. You know, I would say the best match in the tournament was probably, I don't know, the finals. Maybe when I'm going through these a little bit better, I'll have a second opinion. Maybe I'll get something else there. But the finals, I went like a 3.5 star. No, you know what? I found another match that I think was indeed better than that finals, and that took place in Osaka. Yeah, I'm just going through the cards here, and I'll go through all the matches and just a loose thought of what happened and the result, and then the overall block breakdown. So, one last attendance thing and card critique is these Nagoya and Osaka shows were absolutely loaded card-wise. The Nagoya show had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches, all different from each other, big trios main event, singles matches with like Haruhi and Hamada, Nakagawa and Cherry. I know they aren't like huge stars by any means, but you break up the monotony of the tag matches. Now, my opinion over the Nagoya show, I thought it was the worst one. Like, by a long shot. The Osaka show was very much kind of the same, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches with some singles slipped in there. Matsumoto and Yuki, Ren Yuyu, Sayaka Shimono, Saki Iwata, Ryo Mizunami. And then you had the two block matches headlining. Now, with the semi-main event being this Apple Miyuki Ninja Ranmaru match that went 16 minutes, that can kick rocks. Okay? But the idea stands and it's still there. And it did have the, in my opinion, the match of the tournament. So yeah, I think my biggest critique is definitely the amount of time they gave certain teams over others and how they were able to focus them. Giving 12 to 18 minutes to an Apple Miyuki Ninja Ranmaru match filled with people freezing in place and doing comedy isn't it. And when you see Kana doing wacky comedy like that, it kind of eats at you a little bit, or it eats at me. And then on the flip side, you had Makoto and Moika Haruhi going 12 to 16 minutes and God bless them, but they're not very good workers, and not even not even Kurihara can help save them most of the time, right? And then I got to say the booking was very uninspiring. You know, whether it was time limit draws or double countouts, which we'll get to one. It got very frustrating, and I mean, this should come no shock if you're listening to me quite some time that the Gami Tomoko Nakagawa matches in this tournament were abysmal, and it's all on Gami, just no effort, t-shirt mode, sitting on ropes, can't even bother to break up pins. She's walking around the ring half the time. Yeah, she'll hit a suplex here and there, and you go, ooh. But really, it's more about her hitting people with fans, spitting water in their faces by drooling, and just doing the Gami thing, where it's just low effort. And that's what's most aggravating. When Tomo Nakagawa, I really like her, and she is a tremendous worker. She's very fun to watch in the ring, but when it comes down to matches where her partner is essentially absent from this, and she has to switch between selling and also being the hot tag moment, it just makes for poor watching, because it strives from boring to aggravating. So I'll quickly go through the block matches and their results. Day one, Haruhi and Makoto defeat Kurihara and Mika Iida, and that was a theme throughout the tournament. Mika Iida eating pins every single time. The total points that Kurihara and Iida won was 2. So there you go. And it wasn't great. And then a contender for worst match of the tournament, Apple Miyuki and Ninja Ranmaru defeat in comedy fashion Gami and Nakagawa, and I thought 2 matches into this tournament, I was in for trouble when I saw this one. Then we got probably my most frustrating match, at least booking-wise, was Hamada and Kana against Ohada and Tsukasa Fujimoto. And I was like, okay, I was hyped for this one. It went 19 minutes, 16 seconds. It had some issues here and there, at least pacing-wise. And then it just ends in a double countout, and I really, really rolled my eyes. And Tsukasa Fujimoto and Ohada are in full Black Dahlia mode, where Ohada has the cattails whip the whole time, and Fujimoto has her new idea of a tetherball, a little soccer ball with a net, and she hits people in the face a couple times. She swings and misses horribly, like she's never swung a baseball bat in her life, or played tetherball for that matter. It's very poorly done, and it really takes me out of the matches. That was a theme for Ohada and Fujimoto. Yes, there was moments of good stuff in the matches that got you into it at times, but it was inevitably always going to be the Black Dahlia stuff coming into play. The main event of night one was Shibutani and Shuri defeating Shida and Oka in 9 minutes, 51 seconds for your main event. No time to really cook, no time to really get into it, and it just kind of ends. So day one, I thought, was extremely disappointing. Day two, which again was in Nagoya, Ohada and Fujimoto defeat Apple Miyuki and Ninja Ranmaru. I'm not going to talk about these matches anymore. They're really bad involving this duo. Shida and Oka defeat Kurihara and Iida. This one was pretty okay. I do enjoy the work that Kurihara and Iida do together. And Oka's fine. Shida still has a ways to go in things like this. But it was at least an enticing match. I went 1 out of 3 rec on this one. The first recommended match I could do in this tournament. So that at least got me going. I know, we're like 6 matches already into this tournament. I finally got one to recommend. And then the rest of the card was Gami and Hirota on it. So you can imagine my pain and suffering I went through there on that one. And that was day two for the matches. Day three, well, Hamada and Kana defeat Miyuki and Ranmaru. 16 minutes and 19 seconds. An atrocity. Ayumi Kurihara and Mika Iida defeat Shu Shibutani and Shuri. Iida and Kurihara's lone win in this tournament. 15 minutes, 51 seconds. This was my match of the tournament. Still only went 1 out of 3 because Shuri is still very raw at this point in her career. Ida is just starting to break out and doing good things. And then Kurihara and Shibatani just have good chemistry together. So I really like this one. This was a 1 out of 3, not quite a 2 out of 3 wreck. You know, 3.25, 3.5 stars range kind of deal if you want to talk about like that end of the recommended spectrum. If you prefer the star ratings rather than my recommended ratings, but there you go. And that's it for day 3. So you can see how maybe them spreading this out the way they did also kind of hurt how they went about drawing to some of these shows. We're up to day 4. Ohada and Fujimoto defeat Gami and Nakagawa, 18 minutes 9 seconds. And like I said, Gami in full non-effort mode, and Ohada and Fujimoto doing the Black Dahlia stuff. This went on entirely too long. Fujimoto and Ohada at 5 points at this time, and Gami and Nakagawa are essentially out with 0 points. So at the very least, we know the tag champs can't win this tournament, and 18 minutes 9 seconds of this was just abysmally long. And the main event was Shida and Oka defeating Makoto and Moika Harui, 18.5 minutes. This was just poorly worked because Makoto and Harui just do not have it. The Leon Mio Shirai match at the with the 15-minute draw in the mid card, that was pretty okay. I did enjoy that to an extent. Day 5. Okay. So here we had Shu Shibatani and Shuri defeating Makoto and Moika Harui, 13 minutes, about the same level of wreck that I spoke about with the last Makoto Harui match. And the Dual Shockwave Block A match, if Hamada and Kana win, they win the block. If they lose or draw, they do not win the block. They will be a point or two shy of Ohada and Fujimoto. So this is a must-win situation for Hamada and Kana. And I'm going, okay, we'll finally get Effort, Gami, and Nakagawa trying to play spoiler to Hamada and Kana. And we got a match that went to a 20-minute time draw of Gami. I am not shitting you. She wouldn't get out of the ring. She would sit on the bottom rope for minutes on end. I mean, this woman could not even be bothered to break up a pin. There's one moment in there where Kana has Nakagawa like dead to rights after a kick. And Gami walks over and doesn't even, like, it's near her corner. And she just walks over and stares at Kana in the pin, and Nakagawa has to kick out. This was horrible. This was a grand example of what infuriates me with watching Makiko Futagami throughout a lot of her career, where now that she's on the older age and how much time she's put into the business, it's not even that she's shot. It's the effort level that's so aggravating. Like, I see her hit like one German suplex in this to Ayaka Hamada. I'm like, where is that for the other 19 minutes and 58 seconds of the time? And you know it's not a whole lot of effort for her when she's not breathing hard. And you see Hamada and Nakagawa, and especially Kana, who's always full effort level, doing these things. It was an infuriating experience to watch Hamada and Kana have to essentially play at 50%. Because Nakagawa has to pace herself for essentially the entire 20 minutes. So Hamada and Kana go for that, go get that draw. They lose out on the block win. And that leads us into our last day, where there's a Block B playoff match between Shuri and Shibatani against Shida and Oka. 10.5 minutes, nothing special here. Just a, like a, we'll call it a house show tag match that just so happened that Shibatani and Shuri win. Not very decisive, I would say. There was quite a few roll-ups, if there were any pins. It was very rare that we'd actually see a decisive win from... Even Kurihara, She didn't have much to do in this tournament. It was a lot of instances where the, we'll call it the lesser, I guess, veteran of the duo would end up in the majority of the second half of the tag match. So, before I go on to the finals here, I will go over the final standings of Block A and B. Block A, final standings, in last place, Gammy and Nakagawa with 1 point. That was the terrible, terrible draw on that final night. Miyuki and Ninja Ranmaru get 2 points, and Hamada and Kana get 4, with your winners at 5 points, Ohada and Fujimoto with the Black Dahlia shtick. In Block B, it was a little bit more to the final day. Kurihara and Ida, 2 points, last place. Makoto and Haruhi, tied for last, 2 points. And then, as we just discussed, Oka and Shida lost on the block-deciding match of Shibutani and Shuri. And that leads us to the finals. And the finals was at Shinkiba First Ring, and it was Shu Shibutani and Shuri going up against Fujimoto and Ohada. And I'm like, okay, all young up-and-comers. I like the idea of the booking here. I would have liked to see Fujimoto and Ohada do less of the Black Dahlia shtick. And if Shuri was a little bit more established in the scene rather than, you know, hanging out with Tajiri, maybe there would have been more interest in it, right? I do think Hamada and Kana probably would have been the best decision at this point. Maybe going up against Fujimoto and Ohada and putting them over. I think that's an option, but odds are Kana and Hamada aren't going to do the job like that. So perhaps this was your only option. Well, it went 19 minutes, 27 seconds. And outside of I thought this was a contender for the best match of the tournament. It did still suffer from Fujimoto and Hada doing the Black Dahlia shtick, cattail whip, tetherball right in front of the ref. Just kind of, there was a ref bump in this match, which I didn't love. Shibutani and Shuri, as raw talents as they are. The other issue is Shu Shibutani never wins anything. This was another case in point. Fujimoto and Ohada win the match. The ending was pretty flat, with Ohada cattail whipping Shuri out of the ring. And then Fujimoto simply hitting the Venus shoot from the top to pin Shibutani. So they will move on to the Reina de Reyes tournament at the end. And they will face Gammy and Nakagawa. I believe that's going to be the main event of that Korakuen Hall. And I really hope we get some sort of effort from Gammy. Because you can find clips of Gammy from like 2001 onward where this woman's like sitting in chairs and it's painful. So we went over attendance, we went over the matches, we went over the positives, the negatives, and really I thought this was disappointing overall. I thought the matches did not deliver to the extent that they should have. Maybe a lot of that has to do with the current experience of the talent and maybe just how over they are. I'll let you, the viewer, the listener, decide what you think for yourself. This is just obviously my opinion on the matter. And perhaps it would have been smarter to go further with Mika Ida and Ayumi Kurihara. Because ever since that closure of Neo, Kurihara has been on the back burner of the entire scene. Would it have been, like, if it was up to me, I probably would have had Kurihara and Ida against Hamada and Kana in the final. That's just me. That's how I would have done this. I'm not even saying I disagree with the finals. Like, Ohada, Fujimoto, Shu Shibutani, and Shuri are great finalists. The match just didn't hit the way I was hoping for. And you end up putting over Ohada strongly. Fujimoto, though, gets the win, and she's not, like, affiliated with Wave full-time. She's more with Ice Ribbon. That's another thing Wave needs to work on. Who are going to be your players in Wave going forward, and can you book them strong? That's what we'll be looking for in the next episode for Wave when we do, let's see, we have a Wave Maniacs compilation. Maybe I'll skip it depending on what I see for those shows. So maybe the next time we talk about Wave, it is that Reina de Reyes crossover show. The next episode will not be the Women's Pro Wrestling Autumn Festival, the joint Oz, Ice Ribbon, and Diana show. Could not find any sort of, like, material in existence to see this. So we're going to unfortunately have to skip that one. And we're going to be doing the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix, well, from 2012, the very first one. That's super exciting. I'm into that, and it's working out that it's coinciding with the 5-star upon this recording as well. So this is, remember guys, subscribe to the Patreon if you want to help support, get access to that Google Drive. I'll see you next time.